when we were sick this last year, sort of unconsciously had the television raise Sam for a couple of weeks there. He probably watched a little bit more TV than he should have. And we discovered a show that is called Fireman Sam. How cool is that? It's a show from Wales, and it's about a fireman named Sam who goes on all of these different rescue missions every week. He got very hooked on it. Strangely enough, the character that he identified with the most was not Fireman Sam, but instead the kid whose name is Norman, who always gets into trouble. Of course his name is Norman, right? And so this kid always gets into trouble, and he has a catchphrase whenever he gets in trouble. Well, just before he gets in trouble. And you know it's about to come, because as soon as you hear him say, "I know what I'm doing," you know trouble is just around the corner. Well, that was the expression that Sam picked up. That's what he got for Christmas, was this expression, apparently, because that's what he picked up on. And so for a season there, all we would hear when Sam would climb up on something, and whenever we warned him, warnings were always met with, "I know what I'm doing," which felt really good. The thing that he didn't pick up on was that every time Norman said that, he immediately realized he didn't know what he was doing, and that's when they called Fireman Sam. But our Sam just thought that meant that he actually did, of course, know what he was doing. And so this became sort of this kind of boastful thing that our Sam would say at that time. And it was an interesting time, and I would always remind him, you know, you have a choice. We always teach him he's got a choice here. You have a choice. You can either let mommy or daddy help you, or you can fall and get hurt. And it was, the choice was his. He was allowed to make this choice, because I want him to know that he always has this choice. Lent, as Father Don pointed out this morning, is a highly confused season. We very often think about it differently than we're supposed to. The expression I think you used this morning, Father Don, was, "Let's try out holiness for a season." And that's sort of what we do. We kind of try it on and see if it fits for the next 40 days, and then we return it at Easter, and we go back to our old non-sacred ways. Which is why we do things like give up chocolate, or we stop smoking was, I think, a popular one from years past. Those kind of things. And so as soon as Easter comes, alleluia, that's the last time I get to say it, but alleluia, we get to do those things again, and we can put on our unrighteousness, you know. That's completely wrong. You know, this is a season of discipline, and it's not discipline for the season, but in order to kind of prepare us up for what comes at Easter and to continue on after Easter. Somehow we've decided that Easter is our cutoff, that when the stone rolls away, so do our good practices that we've learned. That's just not it at all. When Jesus is talking to the disciples today, and he's sharing what not to do, what's the word he uses to describe those people? Don't be like the hypocrites. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, "Gee, I plan on being a hypocrite at the end of the day." You know, all of these people were well-intentioned, as we all are when we come up with our disciplines. We're well-intentioned. We have the best plans for holiness. But something happens along the way, and we lose the focus of that holiness. And then we do it for all of the wrong reasons. Isn't it terrifying that when this happens in our gospel today, all of the good things that they were doing are without reward at all? They just completely are void at that point. But for those who store up riches in heaven, their reward is in heaven. That's where the desires of their heart will be. So the story, as I was praying through this week, that came to mind as far as what Lent really should be about, is actually not one of our readings at all today. It's actually all the way in the back of in the book of Exodus. Moses is commanding the people, and this warring tribe called the Amalekites came up, and they want to attack the Israelites for kind of just existing. And so they're about to be attacked, and Moses sends Joshua, his commander, out his commander and successor, and he says, you know, you're going to attack them, and we're going to go up to this hillside. And I know what a real special thing it is to see God's staff that I carry up in the air. And that'll be a sign that God is blessing you and strengthening you. What Moses is commanding for himself here is a spiritual discipline, isn't it? I'm going to go walk up this hill, and I'm going to do this disciplined thing, and I'm going to show that God is here. He has every intention of holding this thing high up. Well, the battle rages on. Moses is up on the top of this hill, and his arms start to get weak. And he starts to lose strength. But whenever he puts the staff down, the hand of the Lord goes away, and the people start to lose the battle. So he realizes that this is God's blessing on these people. I've got to hold this thing up. Now, if I'm Moses in this moment, I'm slightly disappointed that I don't have the strength to do this on my own. But instead, what happens? They sit him down. Aaron and a guy named Hur, worst name in the world, by the way, tell him to sit down. Hold your staff up, but sit down. And now Moses is holding up the staff, and Aaron on one side and Hur on the other hold up Aaron's arms in this moment. What do we see in this picture? It shows that Moses, as strong as he wants to be, is weak when it comes to upholding what the Lord wants him to do. And it takes the holding up of his arms. It takes him asking for help in order for him to perform this discipline. That's what Lent is really all about. That's what our disciplines are all about. It's not about the strength that we bring to it. You know, so often when I've done Lent, I finish it up and I say, look how well I've done in this time. But is that really the point for me to know how strong I am? When you read what Paul is saying in the letter today, he's not speaking about his own abilities, but instead he's speaking about his dependence on God. That's what our discipline should be marked with. The fruit of all spiritual disciplines is a dependence on Jesus. You know, this is the difference between a physical discipline that we do on our own, go to the gym or get stronger or strengthen our minds. But we like to think that puffs us up and we have abilities on our own. But Christian discipline is really all about recognizing that you have no strength of your own. Our new bishop said over and over on our retreat this last week, God always brings us to the edge of our own ability so that we can learn to depend on him. That's the message of Lent, isn't it? Our disciplines, whatever you have chosen, whatever God has purposed in your heart for this season, let it be a discipline that has as its fruit a dependence on God. Our experience should not be, look how well I'm doing on my own. But instead, look how much God holds me up. So let this be a season marked not with your strength, but instead on a dependence on Jesus. Because truly, apart from him, you can do nothing. Try as we might to hold that staff up into the air, you have a choice. You can either do it on your strength as the hypocrites do, or instead, you can trust in God to hold your arms up. Let this be a season where your disciplines lead to dependence, and where you experience not your own puffing up, but God's grace alone. Let's pray. Father, in all of those ways that we think we're so strong, so good, so impressive, Lord, help us to not be like the hypocrites. Help us instead to be people who truly seek after you, who truly depend on you. Let our motivation be a closeness to you, instead of what we might get out of it, instead of how impressive we might look. Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts now. Speak to us, Lord, and tell us just what we need. And Lord, we pause now as we reflect on what you are saying to us. Lord, teach us to seek no treasure but you, no motivation but your glory, no other strength but yours alone, Lord. Help us to remain in you, to depend on you. And in all circumstances, seek out your grace and live at the mercy of the foot of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.